ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Once a fortnight, I have a chat with ethicist Patrick Stokes, in which we unpack thorny topics which eat away at us, things like, is it okay to lie in a memoir? Am I evil for not wanting to be around other people's children? Is it ethical to create AI clones of dead people? Anyway, I call the segment Ask Aristotle, and this week, let's take that literally. Let's get back to basics. What sort of lessons did Aristotle actually espouse? And what are some golden rules of philosophy that we can still apply to our lives in 2025? I'm Patrick Stokes, here with me again. How close are you to perfect ethically?
Close to perfect. Please. You can't improve on nature. You can, actually, and that's a point that, in fact, a lot of the ancient philosophers in particular were quite insistent on, not just the Greek ones either. Like, even Confucius, for instance, was all, well, you've got this human potential and it just needs to have the right soil and the right circumstances to flourish in, and Aristotle's the same. I mean, the Greeks in general just sort of thought of philosophy as a sort of self-help program, basically. It was a kind of therapy. It was a way of just living a better life rather than being a sort of, intellectual hobby or just being something that people do out of sheer curiosity. They saw it as key to living well.
Optimizing your life is a very 2025 energy, so I can see that there are applications here. Tell me about some of sort of Aristotle's key teachings and how you sort of see them still having a through line today.
Yeah, so Aristotle's he's a polymath. He's interested in a lot of different things, as the philosophers tended to be back then. There was no kind of division like the one we were just sort of talking about with, STEM versus humanities and arts. There was no real division between sort of what we might think of as natural science and philosophy and mathematics. This was all one big thing. And so Aristotle's got a finger in all of those pies. But as regards ethics, Aristotle's what we call a virtue ethicist, which is to say that he's not terribly interested in, or not so interested in, whether certain actions are right or wrong in themselves. Is it okay to lie, or is it okay to cheat, or those sort of things. He's actually more concerned with, the Greek word is arete, meaning excellences, but it usually gets translated virtues. In other words, certain kinds of character trait that we have that make life go well. Right. So if you think of courage, for instance, if you're a courageous person, life tends to go better. Better things happen if people are courageous. And if people are cowardly, then things tend to go much worse. Equally, if people are needlessly rash, things tend to go much worse. So Aristotle sort of sees the virtues as this sweet spot in between deficiency and excess. So in between being a rash person or a coward, you want to be a courageous person, which is kind of the golden mean between the vices of excess and deficiency. The tricky bit is knowing where that mean lies and trying to work that out. And that's where kind of what he calls phronesis, or practical judgment, kicks in.
Are there any things that Aristotle would have considered virtues that we don't agree with today?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things about virtue ethics, is that it changes over time. A list of virtues that Aristotle would recognise could be quite different to ours. Aristotle has a couple of virtues that only apply to rich people. There's the virtue of magnanimity, which he says is not available to most ordinary people, but it's available to rich aristocrats to do things on a big, grand scale. And if they do it wrong, it ends up being sort of vulgar or crass, but that's not available to the rest of us. So there are different virtues for rich and poor people, more or less. I mean, I'm simplifying a bit. Equally, there are virtues, like certain virtues that come out of Christianity, for instance, that become a key part of the culture, which I don't think Aristotle could make much sense of. I'm drawing here on Chris Cordner, who was my PhD supervisor a long time ago, so I might be misremembering Chris. Apologies if I get this wrong. But I mean, Chris has said somewhere that he thinks that the virtue of humility that we talk about, of being a humble person, Aristotle not only couldn't make sense of that, he'd probably despise it. He'd probably look at that and think that's a terrible idea for a virtue. So actually, what counts as a virtue can change across time. And so there's a lot more work to be done than just saying, oh, we all agree it's, honesty and courage and, resilience or whatever. There's much more to it than that.
So Aristotle would be totally okay with, like, humble bragging on social media.
Social media. I think he actually might be more okay with it With things like, you know, the sort of the narcissism of social media. I mean, I will admit, I literally just posted a selfie of myself in the studio like 3 minutes ago. But, you know, I think Aristotle would say, well, yes, of course, that's what you as the megalosukos, the great-souled person, that's what you do. You stake your claim to your proper status. Whereas I think somebody like Plato might say, this is nonsense. What are you doing? Just think about the forms. Think about philosophy. And somebody like Epicurus might say, well, you know, chasing after this sort of pleasure is only going to be, it's an unnatural pleasure. It's going to ruin you. Don't do that. And the Stoics, the same way, might say, what do you care what other people think of you? Just do your work well and you know, achieve the basic forms of happiness that are available to people. So Aristotle, I think, would probably be the most successful poster of the lot.
You're a total megalosukos, Pat. I've always said that about you.
Aw.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor with Patrick Stokes, resident ethicist, talking about, well, we call the chat Ask Aristotle. And today we're really talking about what Aristotle would make of the way we live in 2025. Pat, it's all very much about application, I think, when we're talking about these things. Are there things that you personally do to try to live according to Aristotle's principles?
Not really Aristotle. I mean, I teach Aristotle. I'm not an Aristotelian, but I teach him sometimes and come back to him again and again. There's stuff about moderation in Aristotle I think is actually quite good, right? You know, so instead of the Stoics, for instance, say, never get angry. Just, you know, anger's a bad thing. You need to get rid of it. And people think that's unnatural. Aristotle's much more kind of forgiving in that way. He's like, no, it's right to get angry sometimes. Anger can be useful, but you need to get angry about the right things in the right way. For the right duration and so on. So make sure that your emotions are properly proportioned to the situation. I think there's some useful stuff there. There's other things in Aristotle. I mean, there's obvious things that you can look at and just reject out of hand, like where he says that anyone who's not Greek is a natural slave. I think we can just write that off.
Problematic.
Yeah.
Can we cancel him?
There's a few cancel-worthy things in Aristotle. But also, to me, I'm more drawn to a kind of ethics that is in some ways more 20th century. I'm thinking here of people like Martin Buber, Kay Lustrup, and a few other people. Sort of ethics that basically sees ethics as grounded in just our encounter with other people and the sense of concern for other people that comes from that. To me, that's the core of ethics, is about just selfless concern for other people. And I think Aristotle's is a kind of ethics which can get a little bit too inward-looking. It can be too much about, okay, what virtues do I have to have? How do I acquire these virtues? Are these the sort of virtues that are going to allow for a flourishing life, which is what this is all about for Aristotle as for the other Greeks. It's about what Aristotle calls eudaimonia, literally good spirit, but it means something like flourishing or thriving. Whereas I think the core of ethics really is, and I'm here drawing on some of those other thinkers, is really just more about the way in which we see someone go, oh, how can I help you? You know, we see another person and we think, okay, what does this person need? The sort of ethics you find in someone like Immanuel Levinas, for instance. That's the stuff I get more drawn to, the sort of just encounter with the other person as making a moral demand on us just by them being there.
So a lot of philosophy, at least from the outside looking in, is discussing ideas and kind of putting forth your perspective and hearing someone else's. And that feels like a healthy dynamic that we don't seem to have as much these days. Do you think that that's something we could try to get back?
Certainly, I think there's two ways you can go here which are problematic. One is the direction which I think a lot of academic philosophy has gone in, where instead of coming together like in a sort of Socratic dialogue like in the ancient Agora in Athens and saying, you know, how do we work out the nature of truth here? Very often we just end up fighting with each other and basically trying to prove that, you know, I'm right and you're wrong, because that's what's going to get me the career brownie points. It's going to move me up the ladder, right? So it becomes adversarial, or I've been in philosophy seminars sometimes where it's like people are just trying to engage in combat rather than trying to collectively find the truth together. On the other hand, you can go too far down the other route and go, oh, well, everyone's got their opinion and that's fine. You know, we've all got our different views, rather than actually trying to work out if one or the other opinion is actually right or not. In both cases, you could say the problem is we're engaging in trying to win a battle rather than actually trying to uncover the truth. And if we see it as a collective attempt to find out what is actually true, and we do that together in dialogue and with the intellectual humility to admit when we're wrong and admit when our view has been superseded, that's the most productive thing. But you've really got to break through a lot of ego and a lot of ulterior motives and things like that to get to the point where people can do that.
So I did ask you if you have questions for Patrick about ethics that I can put to him. And Pat, I do have a couple. We might need to do this as a bit of a lightning round because we're very close to the top of the hour. But
okay.
Mike is saying New South Wales public schools have primary school ethics classes in place of religious scripture classes. How good is or how useful is early ethics education in primary school?
I think it's incredibly useful. I've actually sat in on some philosophy for children type classes where they've talked about ethics, and I have been massively impressed by what primary school kids can do when you give them those sorts of questions. Kids are natural philosophers, and if you give them those questions, they ask really interesting, probing questions, and they can see issues and challenges that maybe a more seasoned, crusty observer might not.
I should point out at this point, the ABC actually has a kids' ethics podcast. It's called Short and Curly. You should find it on the ABC Kids Listen app. It is absolute cracker. David's asking, what would Aristotle make of voluntary assisted dying?
I don't think you'd have a problem with it, in that you can easily talk about mercy as a virtue. You can talk about the mercy motive as a virtue. Voluntary assisted dying, you get two different kind of motives. We probably don't have time to get into this here, but there's kind of a mercy versus an autonomy motive. I think Aristotle would probably more lean towards the first, but I don't necessarily think he would have a huge problem with it.
Well, Pat, thanks as always for sharing your wisdom, your giant, giant brain with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Patrick Stokes is an ethicist with Deakin University, just living that eudaimonia, that good life. He joins me fortnightly for Ask Aristotle, which is our ethics and philosophy segment.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.